Larry Green. I'm sorry. Lawrence Green. First of all, thank you for sitting down with me again. Mm-hmm. So, guys, this is technically supposed to be my third show, but it's going to be my first show. So you're technically going to be my first guest.
That's what's up.
On the Get Up to Par show, Getting Up to Par with Sabrina. Mm-hmm. We had some technical difficulties with the sound. It happens. If you've ever done a podcast, I'm sure it's happened to you. And it happened to me, so I just had to make some changes. And so here we are again.
Yes.
But I'm excited because there's a few more things that have happened since I last spoke with you that I want to address and talk about. Mm-hmm. But before we get into any of that, please introduce yourself. Tell them who you are and what do you do for a living.
Yes.
And then I'll just elaborate a little bit about how I know you.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you for having me once, Sabrina. I'm Lawrence.
Larry Lawrence.
My friends call me Larry. In the business world, I go by Lawrence. Born and raised here in Cleveland, Ohio. I am a real estate entrepreneur. I'm a father of three. Been doing real estate for 17 years. And so I have a company called LML Ohio Properties, where we purchase and buy residential properties. We manage, we flip, we invest. And also I have my own podcast called Lunch with Lawrence, where I interview the Cleveland entrepreneur.
Which I was a guest on over a year ago.
Yes.
And so that's why I was really excited to have you now on my podcast. Because I think on yours, I did mention it and I was thinking about doing my own.
At that time, you had a lot of new things coming
yep.
up.
And so now they're all unraveling.
Yes.
You know, I'm pretty healthy
I'm
now.
For you.
So I'm excited about, you know, checking off some of these boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before I get into what LML stands for, mm-hmm. you said you've been in real estate for 17 years.
Yes.
So what were you doing before real estate? And then what made you, I know, and what made you transition into real estate as an entrepreneur?
It's funny. I was just telling these stories to some friends the other day. So I'm going to make it quick. So I graduated from high school, went to college for a year to be a mechanical engineer. I dropped out of college. And then I didn't know what I was going to do. I was only 18 years old. Ended up getting a job at a gas station, right?
That's the story.
worked at a gas station, third shift from 11 at night to 7 in the morning. Ended up getting fired from that job. And then I got hired at Home Depot.
How did you get fired? You just...
You know, just doing some things I shouldn't have been doing.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
And so got fired and then got hired at Home Depot for a short period of time where I quit that job. I got hired to push carts, Sabrina, in the middle of winter. Okay. Like outside getting carts. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have made that either.
And then from there, I got hired. I applied to be a teller at a bank.
Okay.
And then from being a teller at a bank, I ended up developing relationships with customers that would come into the branch. And so one guy in particular, he did real estate. And I was liking the checks that he was bringing in, depositing on a weekly basis. And so he pretty much took me up under his wing. He became my mentor. And at the age of 21, he helped me buy my first 8 properties.
Wow.
And then from there, I quit my job and never looked back. And 17 years later, I'm in real estate.
So do you have any regrets about not finishing college, getting that degree?
No, not at all. I mean, college is a great thing, but it's not for everybody.
I agree.
You know, so I'd rather employ people who have the college degree. You know,
I agree with that. Yeah. I know it's not a sexy thing to say, like, don't go to school, don't pursue it. Like, no one wants to say that. And everyone is still pushing their kids to go to college.
Yeah.
I'm just a little different.
Me too.
You know, good. Because we was going to argue. But and not that I'm telling my children to not get an education, because of course you need to have an education.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you using college for?
Right.
What are you expecting to do with this degree?
You know what? It's just give them the option. Or you could say, hey, listen, you're coming up on graduation. You could go to college. Or really the conversation way before graduation.
Right.
Or become an entrepreneur. But I think it's also important for our children to go work a job to learn customer service. Because no matter what you do, customer service is very important.
Yes.
How you speak and talk and deal with people, right?
You cannot have a successful business without having good experience or good customer service.
Right.
But so with my children and me and my ex-husband, we agree on this. If they do not get a full ride scholarship to college, we're not paying for it. Because this is one thing that the government will pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get there, whatever you choose to do, that's fine. I think it's a great networking opportunity.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're in sports, you know, ride that wave till it falls off. Yeah. Getting into sororities and fraternities, I think, is also a good option.
It is.
But just trying to pursue education to get a certain job in a field, unless it's doctor, lawyer, things that solely require the degree.
Yeah.
I'm not pushing that.
Yeah.
I would rather you not go to school. Mm-hmm. We teach you about finances, the money we were going to use on college. We help you to invest, you know, start your life, figure out what your trade is going to be, whether that's working for our companies, because the goal is to have companies that our families can work for and benefit off of when we die.
I agree.
This is the goal, y'all.
Right.
So, you know, and just teaching them what that looks like.
Most definitely.
So hearing that come from you, who is a father of three, that's exciting for me because it's like you're not teaching them, you know, go to school anyway. And it's hard to teach them to do things you didn't do.
Yeah. And times have changed because when we were growing up, that's what was instilled in us. Go to college, get it. Growing up, that's all I heard.
Yeah.
Was go to college. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I have to go to college. I have to continue school. And I tried it, and it didn't work. And it's okay. Because now, you know, entrepreneurship is a big thing too.
Absolutely. When I was coming up, it was get a job, make some money. If you need something, work.
Yeah.
Don't ask me for anything. Go get your own, money.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that. Because I'm like, well, what I really want to do is... A job is taken away from what I want to do.
Right.
You know, I don't have time to do the job and focus on my dream, you know. And so I had to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And because I kind of went against the grain in my family, they didn't really want to support the side that I picked. Not everyone, but most.
Yeah.
Or they didn't understand how to support me because they had never picked their dreams over the job.
Mm-hmm.
So you... Ended up working in real estate from this guy that you met from the bank who took you under his wing, taught you everything, helped you get your first 8 properties.
Yes.
So at what point did you start LMM Properties?
LML.
I'm sorry.
LML. No,
it's on your chain.
Yeah,
it's hard for me not to see it because LML. It's blinding me just a little bit.
You so slim. Let me tuck it in.
No, please don't. Please don't. We need to use that as motivation.
Yeah. So LML. So I had a couple different companies through my real estate career, right? With different names. And then I ended up having 3 children during the course of these 17 years.
Okay.
So my children are London, Madison, and Lawrence Jr. So LML.
Makes sense.
So I decided to create a company named after my children.
Okay.
You know, and so LML Ohio Properties is specifically regarding my kids.
And so you've had this company now for how long?
Since 2016.
Okay, and so tell me what your company offers, or if I was looking to work with you, what would I receive from LML Properties?
Yeah. Okay, so one, you could invest with us to purchase real estate here in Cleveland.
Okay.
And purchase, buy, fix, and flip. If you already have properties, you could hire us to manage those properties for you.
Okay.
To be your property manager. And then if you're looking for something to rent, you could contact us to get to find something you want to rent in the city.
Okay, so you guys pretty much do all the groundwork.
All the groundwork.
And so if I was looking to invest with you guys, that means I put my money up and then we go into seeking a property together.
Yep. We're going to a project together, or there's properties I already have purchased that are just sitting.
So that works really well for people who have capital and just don't have any experience in the real estate industry.
Yep, exactly.
That's a good lick.
Yeah, most definitely.
Especially for guys, you know, coming out of prison or transitioning from a job, or have made other investments and don't know what to do with the money.
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit about you, Larry. You've been married.
Yes, I have.
You are now divorced.
Yes, 3 years.
Okay, so let's talk about that 3-year period. So we have to, you know, like we don't talk about relationships. There's nothing else we really want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So you got divorced. Tell me what that process has been like. From the divorce up until now.
Yeah, you know what? You know, when you hear the word divorce, you typically hear, like, you think of, like...
Drama
and going back and forth to court and hiring attorneys and alimony and child support and stuff like that. That wasn't the nature for my situation, you know. We became friends, and it just wasn't working out. So we decided to get divorced 3 years ago. So, like, a dissolution.
Okay.
Right? Something real simple.
Easy, cheap, quick.
Yeah, real quick. But since then, you know, 3 years have passed. And, you know, the biggest thing for me was just making sure we established a good co-parenting relationship.
Okay. And how's that going?
Oh, it's going great.
So how did you establish that? Because all over the internet, all over the news, all over everywhere, we see these dysfunctional co-parenting situations. Mm-hmm. They cannot communicate. Someone is controlling the kids. Mm-hmm. The guy is saying, I can't see him. Mm-hmm. Or he don't want to see him because he don't want to see her. Mm-hmm. So how did you manage to navigate through that space so well?
At the end of the day, like, I get to be a dad. So being a father is important, right? So when you show up and show out being a father, then they can't have, they have no choice but to respect what you do.
You must have went to the word church a few times. That whole I get to phrase is definitely a R.A. Vernon. I get to,
yeah. Like, you know, like I'm a father, so, you know, I love my children. So for me, it's like I want to get my kids. You know, mm-hmm. I get to get my kids. I get to be with my kids. And it's like I get to give her a break. You know, I get to have my kids for a long period of time. So it works because it's like, you know, you hear that mostly the women are the one with the children all the time.
Right.
Dad's gone. He out kicking and he not showing up. But no, with me, it's different. It's like, no, I want to be there for my children.
So for the man, if you could give a man who's a father, mm-hmm. Who hasn't seen his kids in a while, or who hasn't spent time with his children in a while, mm-hmm. what is some advice you have to them? Because they're going to be listening. And yeah. I think sometimes they get stuck in a complacent space or just get comfortable or just don't know how to push through. I'm sure what you did was not easy, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't even know if you had a blueprint, but you made it happen.
Yeah.
You know, so what advice do you have to that father,
you know what?
That has lost that connection?
Yeah, I would say it's never too late to regain that connection, no matter how much time went by, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you are the father to those children or child. So no matter how much time went by, you reach out, you make the communication, you make the connection happen, no matter if it's going to be difficult. Because everything is difficult in life, right? Yeah. So it's up to you to instill that in yourself where it's like, listen, I'm going to make this happen. Pray on it, sit on it, make it happen. Like, just make it happen. No matter what she says, if the other parent is saying, no, not today, no. Keep on trying. Don't give mm-hmm. up. Don't give up.
That's great advice.
Yeah, don't give up.
So luckily, I was married. I'm divorced. Yeah. I have a co-parenting situation. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And it's out of state, so it can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. But we do so well, you know, like, and to be honest, I think the only reason why we do well is because I don't have my guard up. Mm-hmm. I have created a healthy space of communication. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I didn't, he would not be so easygoing and communicating with me, you know, and it's to the point now where we're 3 hours apart. You know, my son stays with his dad in Arizona. Mm-hmm. The only time he's with me is holidays and for the full summer. Mm-hmm. And so that could be a long stretch sometimes from like that last school break through summer. Mm-hmm. So sometimes with 3 hours difference, I just kind of forget that, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that in regards to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm over here with my daughter. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest. Yeah, like, every day I'm not like, 3 o'clock, I'm calling him when he gets home from school. You know, and then when he gets home from school, he's not always going straight home. Right. He's not always with dad. Yeah. You know, he's not always, I don't know what he's doing half the time. So his father does a really good job with, like, sending me videos or text messages or pictures and just saying, look at our son. You know, to be honest, we were having a conversation last night. Their football practice, he's at practice like 8 p.m. sometimes. It's 11 o'clock here.
Right.
I'm on my way to sleep.
Yep.
I don't know what y'all doing.
Yeah.
And like, don't even call me when you get home. But, you know, he's sending me videos of him at football practice.
That's important.
And he said something like, look at our son. He's like a video game, the way he's getting through the pockets. Mm-hmm. And then so I joked and said, he gets his hips and his feet for me, you know. And instead of him like combating that, which he could have because he's also an athlete, he just gave a thumbs up. And then I said, you know, we did such a good job with him. Yeah. You know, like he is the perfect combination of me and you.
Yeah.
And then he said, I couldn't have said it any better. You know, like we understand what we're doing here. We understand why we need to communicate, why we need to get along. We also understand that he needs both of us equally. He loves both of us equally. The time he spends with me is needed just as much as the time he spends with him. Thanks. I just personally feel like, and this is going to lead into my next question, because he's a boy, he needs to be with a man. And I see a lot of women who are single mothers choosing to raise their sons in their home, and there are willing fathers that would take them, but for whatever reason, they're not allowing that. So how do you feel about that? So if your ex-wife came to you now and say, hey, I want LJ to stay with you, would you accept that?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. You know, I mean, I would love all my kids to stay with me. But yeah, most definitely. I think it's just really important for, especially, it's honestly, boy or girl, it's important for the father, right? But to answer your question specifically on the son, and women raising their sons and not allowing their dads to be a part, that's a big mistake.
I agree.
That's a big mistake. No matter what the dad's into, you know, you could have it where maybe visitation, you know, right, come around, visitation, where we're still, you know, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. But a son definitely needs his father, for sure.
Yes, and there are things that my son and his father do together that I would not be doing.
Exactly.
Like I'm not going outside playing catch every day.
My son loves to go outside and play catch in a 90-degree blazing sun.
Yes, hot, and you know. Y'all go ahead, because I would rather, let's go to the pool,
right,
or let's cuddle, let's go eat,
let's
go catch us a patio vibe.
And that's my daughter.
And so there are times for that, but like a man will do that every day because he takes pride in doing that with his son.
Play basketball, you know, moms catch, baseball.
Take pride in other things with their children.
Exactly.
You know, making sure they look good, making sure they feel good, making sure they're fed.
Yep.
And although it's equally important, I just feel like, my son needed to pee. I can't teach him how to do that. I just think about all the things
balance.
Yeah, I would be Googling everything, you know, or calling his dad, like, how I'm supposed to, or how his hair supposed to be, or what kind of haircut, you know. So it does help me that he's gone, because it's like, I know he's being raised.
Most definitely.
And then when he comes with me, his dad knows he's being nurtured.
Yep.
Okay, so let's shift a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about relationships. So I know about your divorce. It seems to be going well with the co-parenting situation.
Most definitely.
So are you dating?
Of course.
How well is that going? Is dating different for you now, after divorce, or before you got married when you were pursuing your wife?
You know what? It's crazy. It's different, you know, because back then, you know, when I was pursuing, I was dating with a purpose of like, okay, I'm looking for my wife.
Okay.
You know where we get that from, right?
Dr. R.A.
Right. Like I was on a mission. I'm on a mission. You know, I'm in my 20s. Like, okay, I see my friends getting married. I'm at church. I keep hearing about the singles ministry and the married ministry. It's like, okay, I want to cross over. I'm tired of being in the singles ministry, you know?
Right. I'll be back.
And now I'm back. Right. You know, like, you know, single ministry ain't too bad after all.
No, it's
you
not.
Know? But yeah, now dating after post-divorce is kind of like, you know, not in a rush to hop back into anything over the last 3 years. But, you know, not recently, it's been a little different. It's like, okay, you know, now I've been divorced 3 years. Try to, you know, settle down a little bit. But dating has been fun. Like, it's been fun. It's been cool. And I like it to be peaceful. No drama, no issues. Keep it real, people up front. Let them know what you're looking for. If you're not looking for something serious, say, hey, listen, you know, I'm single, but I ain't looking for nothing serious. I just want to go out to eat, kind of hang out here and there. Catch a movie. Maybe catch a trip. You know,
so,
but I ain't trying to lock it down, you know.
So that is where I struggle in the dating world. That sentence, that statement.
Yeah.
Because with that time spent comes expectations.
Most definitely.
And on both parts.
Yeah.
So as a woman, if you're spending time with me, obviously I have feelings for you. And those feelings can develop.
Yes.
And with feelings come expectations. So if you want me to spend time with you, then there are certain things I need to see you doing.
Right.
You know, but then on the other end, he feels like if I'm doing certain things for you, there are things I need to see you doing. And so as a woman, like I can only speak for myself. So as a woman that's spending time, you know, obviously we're communicating on some sort of level if we're spending time with each other. If you fly me in or out or whatever, I must like you. I must like something about you.
Right.
That then says to me, you know, it's hard for me to then say, but I'm not your girl. You have no intention of me being your girl. I struggle with that. And so like I'm kind of in and out of these relationships really quickly because I'm afraid of, well, how long you about to drag me through this? You know, and what does that look like? And then I think a lot of men, and you can speak to this because you're a man, and obviously this is my assumption, have guards up and it's easy, it's safe for them to say, I don't want anything serious. You know, I'm not looking for a relationship, but you are, because if we're having dialogue, if you want me to spend time with you and you know, that also comes with sex, sir, that is a relationship.
That is a relationship.
That is a relationship.
And men say it, it's easy to say it. It's easy to say that in the beginning until you find the right person.
Right. So it's just kind of a easy way to say, if I don't pick you, you can't say I didn't warn you. Is that basically?
I'm not a relationship expert. I'm just going off experience.
So but is that kind of what you're saying?
It kind of sounds about right.
Like, listen, yeah. I'm trying to see if I like you.
Right.
But if I don't pick you, you can't be mad.
Just know in the beginning I said.
Right. Yeah. But please act like we are in a relationship because that's going to make me feel good.
No, not with me. No.
I mean, you're not saying that.
But yeah.
But you're saying that to me without saying it.
Right.
The type of woman that I am.
Yeah.
Because the issues that I'm having is, okay, wait, so you want me to come see you, spend time with you, answer my phone, do whatever makes you feel good. Mm. But then we're not anything, but we're not even friends because a real friend would respect my feelings, desires, you know.
But then at the same time, you have to let it be known what you want. See, if you accepting that from a guy.
Which I don't. Okay. Hence why I said I'm in and out quickly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like they feel like when you just doing too much or let it go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
I hate that. Who made that phrase?
The flow.
Up?
Just listen.
Who
Let's
made
take it day
that
by
up?
Day.
I want to talk to the creator.
Let's take
of,
it day by day.
Yeah. And so for me, this is my so let me give you some real life examples. Okay. So you're a successful business owner in the business of real estate. You could not go with the flow and be successful in that business. Every day you had to be intentional. Every day you had to strategize. Every day you had to give it your all. And then when you make mistakes, you had to recover from those mistakes.
True.
You know, you had to be such a dog about pursuing these properties, coming up with the capital, whatever it was. You couldn't just wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to just go with the flow today and see what happens. Or you wouldn't have had success.
Right, yeah.
Right?
I hear you, yeah.
But when
yeah.
it comes to a woman, it's okay to just go with the flow. It's not okay for you to, it's not cool for a man to wake up and be intentional with this woman. Have a strategy with her. Have an agenda. Invest time and money. And that be okay to do.
Yeah.
Because if you want any success out of her, why not have the same mentality and attitude as you did when you were pursuing your business ventures? That's the problem because I know that I am going to be an asset to you.
You know what? So, like, again, so it was I was two different stages of my life. So before I got married, that's what I was intentional with dating.
Okay.
So the whole thing is, in the beginning, it's like I'm looking for my wife. So I would date you. And if I don't feel that you're my wife after the first 30, 45, 60 days, then we're going to date the relationship.
Okay.
See what I'm
that's
saying?
That's real. So,
a man knows what he wants, right?
Oh, that I know.
Yeah. So now it's easy for a man to be like, okay, you know, in my mind, it's like, okay, I don't want to be married yet. I'm still, you know, healing or going through whatever I want to go through, but I still want to date. So it's easy for me to say, hey, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship. But then you're going to meet the right person where it's like, dang, okay, this person does have all these qualities I like. So let me take this person more serious and let me cut off the loose ends. You know?
You know what happens to the loose ends?
What happens to the loose ends, Sabrina?
They feel defeated, insecure, because the loose ends still put in some work and some time.
They most definitely did.
They didn't act like a loose end.
Right.
You know, like they're still, I'm sure, calling you and trying to set up dates and times. And I'm sure you put in some time with them.
Most definitely.
So then when they're not chosen, you know, it can make a woman feel less than and hurt. And then now she has this guard up for the next guy that he has to pay for.
It's just,
I hate that cycle.
It is, and you guys
aren't considering the cycle you're creating.
Ooh, y'all hear that? You guys are not considering the cycle.
You're not. Yeah. You're not. And it's like, I wish more men would say, listen, I am looking for a relationship, but it may not be you.
That's gay.
Because I'm dating to figure out who the person is. So I still need you to pursue me because I'm going to pursue you. And if in the pursuance of that, is that a word?
I don't know, but go ahead.
You're
saying something right now.
Right. It was a good one. if not, I made it up. In that pursuit.
Yeah.
As we're pursuing each other, please be okay if this does not work out. That's a totally different letdown than just, oh, I don't want to be in a relationship, but have sex with me, come out with me, talk to me, answer my calls, make me feel good, look good for me. That's a whole different message.
Yeah.
And I really hope to change that. And so this just happened to me recently. Like, and the person who is going to watch this and is going to know that I'm talking about them and I'm okay with this. But there was a guy who initially, I did not have any feelings for whatsoever. Was only talking to him on a business level. Obviously, he was handsome. You know, he was an attractive guy. But I'm in my age and stage, like, you being attractive is not enough for me to do anything, you know. But anyways, so initially he thought I was attracted to him and, like, wanted to date him. And I made it very clear, like, no, that's not where I'm at with that. I was just really, you know, I could be aggressive. So I can come off like I'm interested. Yeah. And really I'd be like, what? You're like... Yeah. Big brother, you know, it's just my tone, my voice, my personality. Yeah, exactly. So once we got through that part, like, no, I'm just really just being cool with you. You know, his guard was a little let down because he initially was like, listen, I am dating people and I'm not looking for a woman and I have multiple things going on. And I was like, oh, that's great. Cause I don't care. Cause I'm not trying to be one of those people. Like, I'm really talking to you at the business level. So anyways, so over the course of a couple months, we continued to have dialogue, talk about business, follow each other on social media. He's learning me. I'm learning him. And then ended up, he asked me to dinner, you know, and it was before we had like a business meeting. So I kind of thought it went hand in hand. Later found out, no, he was really trying to have a dinner, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. But he was a total gentleman, you know. Did everything the way that I liked. You know, when I showed up, my valet was already paid for. Nice. You know, just he understood who he was dealing with. Dressed for the occasion. Had already talked to the hostess about, I'm expecting this young lady had described me to them to where I came in. They were like, you must be Sabrina. Yeah. You know, like, I loved all of that. Yeah. So he didn't put in a little effort just for me to come sit down. Because obviously, I'm a woman. I was late. Right. So so anyways, went to his house. We spent some time together. We had some good conversations. He went to grab my hand and I was like, what you doing? He was like, I'm trying to hold your hand. And he was like, I thought you would like that, you know. So whatever. I held his hand, you know. I thought it was romantic. So now I'm just kind of going with his flow, feeding off of his energy. We're communicating every day, made plans to see each other again, right? This sounds like somebody that I'm dating at this point.
Most definitely.
Do you know this man? Now, everything I said was very true. And I had to tell the truth because I know they're going to listen and may want to defend themselves. Do you know this man decided, said that he loved me.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yes.
Those are words that you do not use.
And I think he tried to say it in like a planned fashion, but was kind of just serious and testing to see how I would respond. Anyways, so do you know this man decided one day to text me and say, I mean, what are you looking for? Because I'm not really boyfriend material and it just seems like that's what you want. And I said, huh? Now, sir. First of all, who are you talking to? So my first response after that was, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Because, like, there's a certain way you need to address me. You can't just hop on my line and talk about some.
Right. I'm the same.
What do you want? And, you know, like, I didn't even text you.
Acknowledge me first.
Please acknowledge me. So then it moved into, you know, I said, well, number one, I'm not looking for a boyfriend ever. I either have a man or I don't. Like, I think a boyfriend title is childish, and that's just my opinion. We're either dating, and you're my man, and we're pursuing marriage, or we're not really doing anything. And that's just how I feel. And then I said, and I agree with you. You are not boyfriend material, because you should have known better to even come at me like this. But the bottom line was, you're asking me to dinner. I'm going to your house. You're holding my hand. You're communicating with me every day. We're making plans. I'm following your lead, sir. So what I believe happened is he was feeling me a little too much, got scared, and needed to pull back. What do you think?
Either that or he possibly could have met somebody else, too.
Correct. And that is so fine because you don't know what I got going on.
Exactly.
We could have just had a different conversation or we could have continued on or you could have cut me off in a healthy way because you're not pursuing something else.
I've learned that the hard way too, like, to not text. I've done that recently, you know, to, like, let somebody know I'm kind of, like, you know.
Moving
and
on.
It's like in a different direction. You know, and out of respect, she was like, you know, we could have had more respect. You could have called me. And I respect that. And I learned
that. Or even if you are texting, you just, I think y'all need to take, like, a communications class, you know, like, It's like, what? Like, I mean, I understand your heart is probably racing and it's easy to hide behind the phone.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you ever want me to be friends with you,
right?
Like, if you ever want me to respect you again, you know, like, there's just a certain way you have to come at me. Mm-hmm. So now, so I was very defensive because I'm like, I'm misleading you. No, I really feel like you're misleading me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going off of your energy.
Yeah.
I was cool in the space I was in, you know, and so I was like, so you holding my hand and all these different things, you don't think that's misleading? And he was like, well, I just like intimacy and I like affection. I said, okay, well, you cannot get that from me. So I think that you want something that I can't offer because I'm not in the business of being affectionate and intimate with somebody that has no plans for me, you know? And I think that kind of like shocked him. But anyways, so just to piggyback off you said, it's just like, you guys aren't considering the damage it can do. And speaking of damage, and really, we're going to kind of run through this really quickly because we need to end. So you haven't been on social media. Like Larry takes these social media breaks. I feel like it's every month and he never knows what's going on. And I absolutely hate it, but it works for him.
Yes.
And I think it may work for you for the exact reason that I'm about to bring up. So there was a young lady, her name is Raven. She committed suicide allegedly, based on the facts that we know, yesterday, but whenever you guys watch this podcast, I don't know when it's going to be. So she's from Atlanta and she was publicly dating this rapper and she left him like the suicide note. And I just want to read it really quickly because we're in the month of September. September is suicide prevention month. And I have a really soft spot for suicide because I am a survivor. Very a while ago, I did try to commit suicide. Thank God it did not work and I am still here. And I learned how to want to be alive. So I'll very quickly, I'm going to read to you what she said to her boyfriend. And some of this stuff I'm going to skip through because I really want to get to the question and get you to respond. And I only have a couple minutes. So she says, I'm just tired. I was dealing with these thoughts before I met you. I was just waiting for the right time. This is my third time writing this. It's nobody's fault. I've been tired for a long time. I gave up a long time ago. I just do a good job of hiding it. I'm going to skip through some stuff. I'm thinking about how this will hurt. She mentioned she was standing at a bridge. If it will hurt, I used to joke about how recklessly I lived my life before meeting you. Truth be told, I would put myself in dangerous situations because I didn't care about living. Living just always seemed overrated. She then also talked about how she felt like there was bugs on her skin and she always wanted to wash her skin off. And that was very alarming for me. So my question to you is, hence why I segued into you getting off of social media. Is that something you do for mental health? Do you feel that helps you get away and just really kind of deal with yourself?
Most definitely. I've been doing the social media breaks for, I think, 6 years now. Where I literally just log off and deactivate my page. For
and during that time, what are you focusing most on?
Oh my gosh, family and business and just my inner peace. Yeah, because with social media, you're taking in so much every day, all day. It's just too much. You know, it's a lot of stuff that's depressing. It's a lot of stuff that's funny. And it's like, no matter how many people you follow who are probably really good for you, it's still just too much information, information overload. So for me, I take social media breaks where it's like, okay, now my brain and my mind can rest. I'm not waking up in the morning and picking up my phone, scrolling or during the day scrolling or at night scrolling. And when I'm off of social media, I'm more productive in my day to day life. My business, I'm more productive. I'm responding to emails faster, getting back to clients faster, actually sitting there spending quality time with my kids versus, you know, the kids are at the house and I'm sitting there on the couch scrolling, letting them do whatever. I'm actually playing and interacting, right? Because we could find ourselves on the phone so much and you get lost in it. So for me, man, like taking a break from social media is definitely helps with the mental for sure.
So guys, that is a really good tool. As September unravels, I'm going to continue having these conversations because it's very near to me. I'm actually going to be doing an event in Atlanta, so I'm going to reach out to you for that. So very quickly, tell everyone where they can find you, who I can reach you off of social media because he's never on there.
So I have my other page that's currently up, which is Lunch with Lawrence. That's L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E. Lunch with Lawrence, all one word. When I am back on social media, my personal Instagram page is LKG Invest. So I only have the two pages. I don't have a business page or anything like that.
Okay.
All my business is referrals.
His systems is set, y'all. He don't need to be on there doing stuff all day.
No, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Larry, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, you were amazing. I love to have a man's perspective on all of these topics. Yes. And until next time, I will see you guys very soon.
Peace.